Foo Bar Radio presents Dave Hill's History Fluffer.
Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Dave Hill History Fluffer. This is Chris Gersbeck, producer of the show. As you might have guessed, we were not able to get yet another new episode together in time for today, so I thought it'd be fun to go back and pull some of my favorite clips from the past year of Dave Hill History Fluffer. So let's consider this Volume 1 of the Best of History Fluffer. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We have a couple of shows coming up for this podcast. Saturday, January 18th, we're going to be at San Francisco Sketch Fest at the Gateway Theater. That'll be Saturday, January 18th at 4 p.m. Tickets are on sale now. Go to sfsketchfest.com to get those. For that show, it's pretty exciting. It's going to be Dave, Jim, myself, and welcoming back the original panelists to this show. Jody Lennon will be there. We'll also be at the Brooklyn Podcast Festival Friday, January 24th at 10 p.m., and that's going to be at Union Hall. And again, it'll be Dave, Jim, myself, and Jody Lennon for the first time in a New York City show in quite some time. So you're going to want to make it out to that. Tickets are $15. You can get those at unionhallny.com. Just want to thank our Patreon members real quick. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Dave Hill. For just $5 a month, you get a ton of bonus content. And you'll also get entry into Dave's street gang, the Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit. You'll get your own gang member nickname. And that's always a ton of fun. And also, we're doing Patreon members at the 25-month tier or above will also get free entry to that Union Hall show. So if you're on the fence about that show, this is a great opportunity for you. You'll not only get entry to the show, you also get a Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident t-shirt, a patch, an erotic short story starring you, a phone call from Dave himself where he sings a Billy Joel song to you. And best of all, that's right, entry into Dave Street Gang, the Dangerous Snakes Who Hate Bullshit. So thanks again to all of our Patreon supporters. We really appreciate you. And if you haven't already, please head to Apple Podcasts and leave us a nice review and a 5-star rating. For whatever reason, that really helps us out a lot. And we really appreciate anything you can do to help support this show. So I'm just going to tee up some of these clips. I've picked 6 of my favorite moments that first sprung to mind. This first clip I thought was pretty appropriate. It's from the Hell's Angels episode we did a while back. And it's just Dave kind of describing his animatronic band, which has made a lot of appearances on this show. So this was just one of many. We'll listen to another one in a little bit. But here we go. Here's Dave explaining to both Jim and myself his animatronic band. I won't spoil the clip because it's a great reveal at the end, but here we go. Let's take a listen to this.
Long and short is no one wanted to be in a band.
Right? Okay, all right.
My point. Now, so what does that leave me with? Solo artist.
Right.
Acoustic guitar, whatever.
Right, which, by the way, dime a dozen.
Dime a dozen, right. Exactly right.
Right.
Or I could maybe play piano and sing.
Mm-hmm. Dime a dozen.
Dime a dozen.
Right.
Do you know, are you familiar with animatronics?
Yes, I am, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So I decide I'm going to form an animatronic band.
Really? Oh, that's a great idea.
Singing classic gospel music.
What kind of animals did you have in this band?
I'll tell you what, I definitely didn't have an alligator or a dolphin after what had happened. It was too traumatic.
If you had an alligator and a dolphin in your animatronic band, you would probably have a nervous breakdown every time you could play.
Yeah, it would have been too much for me.
Right.
But I had a hippo, and the hippo... It would open its mouth, and then, and you think, well, the hippo's going to play its teeth,
like
right?
Like a xylophone, yeah.
Not the cape. Well, he did, but then like a chimp would run over.
Uh-huh.
Now, to be fair, that was an actual chimp. That was not an animatronic. That's chimp. Probably it was a real chimp. Right. He would come
and
over.
I'm going to say the technology at this point is kind of forcing you to use real animals and the fake animals.
Right? Well, yeah, I got a deal on the chimp, and it seemed crazy not to. They're so close.
Chimps can be dangerous too.
Chimps, yeah. Oh yeah, chimps. Do you know chimps are 4 to 5 times stronger than a human being?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that comes in pretty handy when you're loading up the animatronic band in the back of the truck.
So he's like your slave then.
At the end of the night. Yeah.
So, you've trained this chimp to help you load. Yeah.
Yeah. That's you know, to his mind, oh, I'm in this cool band.
I'm in show business.
To my mind, yeah, you're loading the truck.
Back. Right. He doesn't know the difference. He's a chimp.
Yeah, he does not know. Right. He's happy to be in show business.
Right. And so I bet you every time he comes out to play the hippo's teeth, boom. He's writing letters home to his mom.
Wait, what?
The chimp is playing the hippo's teeth? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, people loved it.
Right.
Until he reached puberty.
What happened
and
then?
And that's when they become extremely aggressive.
Right.
And they'll eat your face.
Right, right.
Look
right.
it up. No, right. It's true.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. They also throw their feces at you when they're angry. Is that correct?
In my experience, they don't need to have a reason to do that. they'll just do that to break up the day a little bit.
Right, right, know? Right. So you've got this adolescent going through puberty chimp who originally you've obviously hoodwinked into helping you load the truck,
yeah.
But he thinks he's in show business.
Yeah.
But now he's just angry all the time.
Yeah.
Threatening to eat your face off or throw shit at you.
Yeah. His not even threatening, just doing without warning, to be honest. And there's
what else is in the band?
I would have a hay bale and these two goats would poke their heads up and be like, ah, they would sing. And there's like a giraffe that would sort of swing its neck down and go, whoo.
Oh, because he was high parts. You think it? Yeah.
That's up high, high right, voice. It was sort of a sight gag, thing.
Right.
Anyway,
and so what kind of music? It's gospel music, but what
gospel
do you play?
Gospel music.
What do you
play? I had sort of a washboard strapped to my stomach.
Oh, so it's almost like a jamboree thing.
Yeah, and I had the cymbals in my with my knees and right. that, and I'd hit another thing that would hit a drum.
Right. It's all with pedals. Then you're
all the whole thing. The hippo. Was pedals. Mm-hmm. The banjo playing tiger was automated by.
Oh, there's a banjo playing tiger. Right.
And then he would. yeah. There was penguins that played French horn.
Mm-hmm.
There would be like an owl that I would hit a pedal and he'd go, and to sing bass. Yeah, thank you. No, give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand. Yeah.
Right. Next clip is actually from one of the very first episodes we ever did of Dave Hill History Club. Back when it was actually called You Had to Be There. This is the infamous episode where Dave told us all about his time as a member of the Eagles and a little bit about his time in Fleetwood Mac, and that's where this clip begins. And it's got one of my favorite lines that, again, I will not spoil. But take a listen to this clip from Dave Hill History Fluffer, The Eagles. This is recorded live at QED in Astoria, Queens.
I did have a dalliance with Fleetwood Mac. They, because a lot of people think Fleetwood Mac, they think Stevie Nicks, Christine McVie, John McVie, Mick Fleetwood, Lindsey Buckingham, right? That's the classic lineup.
Right. Yeah.
But before that, there was like a lot of other people in the band. Bob Welch, Peter Green. Anyway, sort of after Bob Welch left and then Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks joined the group, they were like, it's like not working out that well. And I get a call from Stevie Nicks and they're like, you should come over here.
Did she know you, or did she just call you?
I think word was out about me at
about
this point.
The Eagles, yeah.
And she's like, how soon? You know, she's like, we're down at the studio. You know, we're at the trying. work some stuff out. Said, how soon can you get here? And I was just like, open the door. And she opens the door. And I was at a payphone, actually, in the parking lot. And she's like, that was weird. And I was like, yeah, I kind of thought so, too. And I go in, and Mick Fleetwood is also in a huge pile of cocaine.
Oh, so right away, kindred spirit.
Yeah, I was like, well, this is going to work out just fine. And then Stevie Nicks was she's like, hey Dave, do you ever do that thing that I like to do where you do the cocaine up your butt? You know, did you ever hear this about Stevie Nicks? No. The rumor that they would blow cocaine up her butthole because she, and so she says, hey Dave, did you ever try doing cocaine up your butthole? And I said, it's very funny. I said, is there another way? Yeah. Yeah, they got a big laugh
right,
out of it
right
too.
Away, I guess.
Yeah,
right away you're in.
Yeah, yeah,
you're in the group.
They got a big charge out of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is strange. You had said actually because now her it was I guess her septum was destroyed. Was that?
And was her leather Cheerio destroyed at all?
Leather Cheerio.
What is a leather Cheerio?
That's
euphemism?
A butthole. Is that a butthole?
Yeah.
The leather. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Leather Cheerio?
I mean, isn't that what everybody calls it?
I've never heard.
Is that honestly what you're calling a butthole, a leather Cheerio?
It is.
Because I'm going to say that about 700 more times tonight. If that's what you're talking about.
Sorry, yeah.
A leather Cheerio. I've never heard that.
A leather Cheerio.
Asshole.
That's the competition killer, I think. Leather Cheerio.
Yeah.
I'm like reshaping my whole night based on learning that phrase.
So you're quite.
I'm not even talking about this show. I'm talking about everything I'm doing later tonight.
But you're saying that you heard that her leather Cheerio had collapsed.
Yes,
due
I had
to cocaine use.
Her delicate leather Cheerio.
You
might
had heard
have
that.
Been compromised.
Well, you know, it's
sounds
it
like it was
a lot of
it
traffic.
Sounds like it was a spy.
Her leather
Cheerio was a spy. It had been compromised.
That's my password compromised. To most. That's my password, by the
like,
way.
Leather
Cheerio has been compromised. Certain parts of that are capitalized, and then I add a dollar sign and an exclamation point.
So you're. Let's get back to. I guess we can get back to the story.
I don't think we'll ever fully be back to anything. Ever
so,
again.
So
after
there you are.
Cheerio.
You're with Fleetwood Mac in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she's on all four. Is it all fours that she does?
When was she not? No. No. It would always be this joke. Like she'd be like, "Oh, this needs like a little more reverb," and she would move forward. And that was the cue. She would be kind of reaching on the console, and that was like, "I'll be right over." But to be fair, she did. It wasn't just coke she did up. She took her meals up her butthole. Everything was done up her butthole. And soon, you know, we all followed suit.
Sure.
By we, I mean just
you,
I did.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
An amazing. Did you help with any of their music or no? Or was it, that was more just a...
Just all of Rumors. But that's it.
Got to give a shout out to Joey Weiner for introducing us to the term leather Cheerio, a term that is permanently ingrained in my head. So thank you for that, Jody. This next clip is from another live taping we did at QED in Astoria. This is Dave telling us all about his time as the sex slave to both Bette Davis and Joan Crawford during the filming of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. So let's take a listen to that.
So, let's get back to... I love how you bury shit.
Yeah, you...
You're
trifecta, you, Crawford,
right,
Davis.
Right.
Okay.
And you're... I'm assuming you're...
Ping-pong and back and
sexual
forth.
Sexual relations with both of them?
Well, to define sexual relationships...
You're having sex with both of them?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then, yeah.
And they're notoriously feuding at this point. They hate each other.
Well, they got along about one thing.
What's that?
The Eiffel Tower. They would pull an Eiffel Tower on them. Not an easy thing to do when the roles were reversed. Were they? I'm sort of down. It's a close cousin of the spit roast. Do you know that? Anyway, it's sort of like next door neighbor to the patio furniture.
I like that it's in the same genus as the spit roast.
What I'd get down on all fours. Okay. They would. It's not important. Anyway, so what happened was, around the time that their sort of careers were, they were getting on in their years,
right,
in terms of, you know, starlets.
Sure, sure. And they were no longer ingenues.
No. So, the script for Whatever Happened to Baby Jane,
right,
materialized.
Gothic horror.
Yeah.
By the way, for anyone who doesn't know it, story of a formerly famous child actress.
That's Joan Crawford.
That's Betty Davis.
Betty Davis, right.
And she now still believes, at the age of 60 or so, that she is still this as cute as a button child actress, though she's not.
They're sisters.
They're sisters, and Joan Crawford is her sister, and she terrorizes her sister, Joan Crawford, who is trapped in a wheelchair.
Blanche.
Yeah.
Blanche, that's right. That's the storyline. I think she kills Blanche.
Yeah, you kind of ruined the end of the movie.
I don't think anyone's going to go watch it right now. Because they're going to sit there and watch the whole movie and think about you and Joan Crawford and Betty Davis and something about a spit roast and an Eiffel Tower.
Well, we never did the spit roast and the Eiffel Tower. They whipped me around like a rag doll, Jim.
I had no idea that Betty Davis and Joan Crawford were so sexually aggressive.
And Joan Crawford was married at the time.
That's right.
To the king of cola.
Right, Pepsi
Cola. Yeah, free Pepsi on
but
set.
But it was obviously an open relationship because she's fucking you.
Yeah, yeah. One time she emptied a 12-ounce bottle of Pepsi into my butthole, Jim. Look it up.
Jim only allowed to have that information.
What's Jody?
What's that called?
That's the that's called the 12-ounce Pepsi in my butthole.
It's just straight ahead what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. So you're having a pretty freewheeling relationship with Joan Crawford. She's pouring Pepsi in your asshole.
Betty Davis. Consensually.
Was that sort of meant?
Did I say she tied you up and poured Pepsi in your asshole? No.
I was tied up, but that was consensual as well.
Fine. So now, Betty Davis, what's that relationship like?
She did the same thing, but with RC Cola.
And that was a dig, though, right? The RC Cola was a dig at Joan Crawford.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like, I'll show you.
Right, fuck your Pepsi Cola.
Yeah.
RC Cola is just as good.
Yeah, sometimes it was Faygo.
Or what about Fanta?
Sometimes it was Fanta.
Coke.
Or Coca-Cola.
Sometimes it was Coke.
Right.
It was your other Coke in your life.
Right.
A couple times it was just, one time it was just a candle she used.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Dave, I mean, I gotta say.
Were you wearing pants ever?
Dude, no.
I mean,
they said my character was Porky Pig.
I see. So
you're just wearing a shirt
and a blazer and a young kind of a young schoolboy's blazer.
Yeah, yeah.
And a doily.
And yeah. I would always be heading into
bottomless.
Town.
Bottomless. Yeah. I gotta say, Dave. I mean, it sounds horrible. It sounds like you leave what sounds like, I think, a good business, the Skaties, kind of a wholesome entrepreneurial.
Yep.
All-American skating rink.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
And Italian place across the street.
Zamboni.
You lose it, I understand. Businesses don't always work out.
And you ride the rails.
You ride the rails, which immediately this big leap of faith there. And then you go, and you ride the rails, and right away you're hobo fucking and shucking.
Fucking and shucking, yeah. Yeah. A little lobster in two.
And some lobstering, and then you decide that you've had enough of that after 5 days.
But no cohog.
And you get a train.
No what?
Cohog.
So you take a train to Los Angeles, and then a bus for a block.
Yeah,
You hang out in front of the soda. You hang out at a soda fountain because that's how Lana Turner was.
For several years,
you gain an enormous. You become a beast. You fill in for Alfred Hitchcock as a stand-in, and a stand-in in every part of his life. It sounds like. Not just movies. So you get kicked off that set. You're hanging out with Marlon Brando, Richard Burton, Warren yeah. Beatty,
but dropping
your teabagging,
and they're
Warren
hanging
Beatty.
Out with you,
right?
Teabag
O'Toole. Yeah. O'Toole is taking advantage of you.
Richard Burton was literally hanging out with me,
right?
And all the while, you're collecting Warren Beatty's hair,
right? Mm-hmm. To make your current plugs.
Yeah. Well, no, this is Annette Bening's hair. This current.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah. That makes sense. So, you then fall in with Joan Crawford and Bette Davis. You're a proxy for their very bad relationship.
Yeah, yeah. They would, everything they did to each other, they would test it out on me.
So
first.
If they had a fight on set,
they would throw me down a flight of stairs.
Okay.
First.
Yeah. If she had to drag Bette Davis across the floor,
they would throw me down a flight of stairs. Yeah.
Okay, but if they had like a slapping thing, what would happen then? What would they?
They would slap me, and then they would throw me down a flight of stairs. And when I get to the bottom, they'd pick me up, and they'd dump a bottle of RC down my butthole.
Bette Davis would.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that Joan Crawford was always
Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had to be.
She's brand loyal. She's very brand loyal.
Oh, Crystal Pepsi?
Back then, I don't think so.
Her idea, though, she did bring it up.
It was her idea, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, you're constantly being thrown down the stairs. You're constantly being sexually, essentially, taken advantage of
mm-hmm.
by Bette Davis, Joan Crawford. At some point, I got to imagine you say, I have to get out of here. Like, this is bad for me. This is not a good, healthy place for me to be.
But
by the way, are you still 410 pounds at this point?
No, I weigh 175 of
wow.
the shape of a lifetime
wow.
at this point.
Wow. Well, no wonder they were... Oh, with you.
Yeah, I was exhausted. I was exhausted.
Did you
time.
Have a role in the movie? Was there any part for you, or did you have any lines?
Baby Jane. I played Baby Jane.
I thought that was Bette Davis.
She plays Baby Jane when Baby Jane's fully old, but do you remember
the
scene
when
there's a Baby Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you?
Yeah. What they did is they took a crib, and they cut like a hole, and I would climb underneath, and they had affixed like a baby's body.
Classic.
Yeah, and I would just be in there, and I had a bonnet. Do you remember that scene? I never saw the final edit of the movie.
I think I know that scene, yeah. Continue.
Yeah, I played Baby Jane.
I don't think Baby Jane was ever literally a baby in the movie. I think Baby Jane, that was her vaudeville name.
She you might have been cut out. I don't want to break it to you.
I would give it another look.
You might not have seen the final edit on it.
No, I would...
It's a
bassinet, and then there was another...
With a fake baby's body.
Did you have to make any sounds or say anything?
Goo goo gaga.
Yeah.
And there was another baby that turned out was a little person, and he smoked. Yeah. And he was with me as well. The original script to Whatever Happened to Baby Jane was just simply about a misplaced baby.
I always thought that last line there deserved a bigger laugh. Moving on. This next clip comes from another live taping we did at QED. This is from the Woodstock episode we did, which still ranks as one of the most popular or most downloaded episodes of Dave Hill History Fluffer. And you might recognize the appearance of yet another animatronic band. Let's take a listen to this.
So what did they do with Dave's Apple?
Good Time Apple Band.
Well, so, you know, they were like, because they wanted, they're like, oh, we love the band. And so I thought, well, great.
Right.
We're playing Woodstock.
Right.
And they didn't want me. They wanted
just the animatronics.
The goats and the,
right.
primarily the bird.
The owl replacement.
So I said, you know, team player, I said, well, I get to, you know, then you have to let my friend Jimmy play in the festival.
Friend from?
High school. Yeah. Jimmy Hendrix.
No shit.
You went to high school with Jimmy Hendrix?
That's exactly right.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And you guys were pals? You did stuff together? You hung out?
We were in the army together. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Good friends. Long time.
And you got him booked on the show?
Got him booked. I hadn't seen him in a while, and he showed up. He had changed a lot. He was a mess.
In what way?
Drugs, which was great, because I was really strung out on a lot of stuff by this point.
Yeah, well, pain management.
Yeah.
You're self-medicating.
And, but yeah, I got him on sort of responsible for that.
You're
getting him on the bill.
You got him on the show.
Yeah, but he's stabbing the back because the whole thing, I said, you can have the animatronic band. You got to let my friend Jimmy play. I get to sing the national anthem.
Sure. Oh.
Yeah.
That kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, I get to sing the national anthem.
And they were like, fine, we don't give a shit.
Yeah, but by this point, I had developed all sorts of infections because of the matzo ball burns. And I was about to go and say, I have neck problems from wearing a pumpkin
covered,
around.
And it's summertime, so you don't want that stuff to be oozing untreated.
Yeah. So you're covered in sores and infections from the burns.
And sometimes you have squash residue in your hair, or maybe in your eyes, or your nostrils.
Just general sore neck and muscles.
Yeah, my neck, and I was sort of starting to contort like this. Like sort of, that was sort of my thing at that point.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and that's kind of where Joe Cocker got his thing.
Oh.
Yeah, because he saw my hole. Because he, you know, because I was in so much pain.
Right.
Then,
so you're like walking around.
Yeah.
Doing this.
And then, you know, Joe Cocker gets up there. I'm like, he's basically doing an impression of me.
Did you know, like, did he acknowledge that?
Yeah, he had been doing an impression backstage.
So he was
making
fun of you.
Yeah, and then he just went on stage and just kept it up.
Funny.
Yeah, this will get him going.
So a little help for my friend.
Yeah.
Maybe that was for you.
Right. Or maybe he was like, it gets a big laugh backstage.
Yeah.
Let me
try
see the 400,000 people thing.
Yeah, so he gets out there and he's going, what? And, you know, and the way...
I'm sorry, he's going, what?
What? Because and even that was mocking me, because when I would put the lotion on, I would go, what? And he started... The whole thing
was... What was the lotion made out of?
Wasn't
it supposed to make you feel better?
It was some sort of salve, balm.
Uh-huh. Right, aloe.
I don't know what it was.
I'm not sure that's a good thing to put on burns.
It was a different time. You never knew where you were getting lotions from.
Yeah,
it was like elixirs and shit.
Yeah, it was... But when I would put it on, I would go like... And I would contort. And that's his whole thing. That was basically making fun of me in front of
400,000 people.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now the I'm just curious, where is I'm trying to envision the whole
Listen, do you want to just 1 second?
Sure.
Speaking of backstabbing.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to sing the national anthem.
Because Jimi Hendrix backstabbed you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jirasi, I'm supposed to sing the national anthem. And I say, just 1 sec, I need to go put on some more lotion. And I'm in the port-a-john sort of thing we had backstage.
Well, weren't
many.
You went into a port-a-john to put on the
lotion
on your burns.
What do I hear?
I don't know.
That
son of a bitch.
Yep.
He wasn't playing your guitar, was he?
No, he just got up there.
Your number.
Yeah, so it would have been stupid if I were to do my national.
Right, of course.
Right, I mean, it is only kind of eventful.
Joe Cocker had already gone up there and done this impression of me.
Oh, man.
Like, what? Yeah. And so, because I was going to go, that was, so I was just like, you know, why bother?
Right.
Right.
At this point.
Right. No, that makes total sense. I mean, I don't blame you for giving up on that.
Did Sha Na Na rip you off in any way?
Yeah, they were there, right? They're a big band.
Yeah. Those were my outfits.
You made the outfits yourself?
Those
really?
Were outfits that I had made for the animatronic band.
Oh, like a 50s kind
like
of thing.
Greaser, white t-shirt.
Like a greaser's kind of thing.
Cuffed up jeans.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, look.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my gosh. That's
right,
just like Sha Na Na's look.
Exactly
the more
right.
things change, the more they stay the same. What... So, I'm trying to envision, is Dave's Good Time Apple Hut still, is it open during this?
I tried to keep it going, and
I mean during the festival.
Yeah, we tried to keep it going. It was very hot, but you know, this is, you know, the Apple, you know, I, because we're so busy now putting what turns what we now know as Woodstock.
Yep.
Going on, so I'm having a hard time, you know, getting new apples, and I'm just kind of using whatever apples I have, and I can't, you know, do candy coating, caramel coating, candy coating, then caramel
and then
coating,
the caramel coating.
Yeah, the peanuts, the whole thing.
Right.
The problem is, when you do that, you can't really tell if the how the apple's holding up. So I'm telling, you know, so I started spreading the word, don't eat the brown apples.
Right.
Yeah.
Why, is that bad for
they're
you?
They're rotting inside.
Is,
yeah.
Is it like poison? Or
yeah,
what
well,
is
something
no, they
happens?
Just don't taste very. They're very mealy, you know.
So it's a taste thing.
Yeah, yeah. They just don't taste.
I'm not going to take a bite of a brown apple and like, I don't know, like I have a bad trip or anything like that.
Well, if you, the ones there, you would have.
Oh,
because
so
they had all been tampered
laced,
with.
Everything had been laced with.
Everything, yeah.
Were you able to spread the word?
Yeah, I was into the PA. I was saying, don't eat the brown apples.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. But, and then that got really confusing for people.
Why?
Because someone said, you know, they thought that I said, don't eat the brown acid. And
right.
I said, well, yeah, don't eat the brown acid.
Right, that's kind of a no-brainer.
But I was trying to tell them don't eat any of the acid,
right?
But they took it to mean eat all the other kinds
just
of acid.
Just don't have the brown apples.
Yeah.
Eat everything else.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. So you're responsible for a bunch of bad trips and probably a couple babies.
Yeah. Well, because by this time the manager's wife was very pregnant.
Oh my goodness.
If you're keeping track of all the recurring bits we do on the show, I'm pretty sure sleeping with the manager's wife is pretty high up there on the amount of occurrences we've had from that. So, one of my favorites. This next clip actually comes from an episode we did at Dave's apartment. This was just Dave, myself, and Jim, and we aimed to do an episode about Lord of the Rings, and it really just turned into Dave and Jim grilling me about my bizarre eating habits. This was actually a two-part episode. That's how intriguing all of this was. So let's take a listen to this clip from the Lord of the Rings episode. This is from part two.
So what happens then is I'm in the pub, you know, I'm eating a scotch egg. I see...
Don't tell Chris that.
Wait, so you don't even like a hard-boiled egg?
No, I don't like any kind of eggs.
Does anyone in your family eat eggs?
They all do, and they all tear me apart every time we get together.
Are you a picky eater in general?
No, I like a lot of things.
Like
just
what?
Not eggs.
Just not pretty much one quarter of everything we eat?
I don't mind if egg is in something. Like I'll eat like a cake or a French toast.
What about are you vegetarian?
No.
Do you eat chicken?
This is not. It's not a philosophical thing.
No, it's just a texture thing.
It's a texture.
So you're either a genius, right? You're on the
very
spectrum kind of thing,
maybe.
Right?
Wait, because of I eat a ton of eggs.
No, people. There tends to be a correlation between having very specific food issues and
genius.
No, and
autism.
Oh. Did you know that there was a time when canned foods were considered fancy?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd be like, 50, it's in
40s
a can.
And 50s, I think.
It's in a can.
Well, because it was the future.
Yeah.
It was like jet age. Like,
yeah.
Oh, astronauts eat this.
I bought some canned beans today, green beans.
No, they're fine.
Yeah. I kind of like them.
I like
a fresh bean, sure.
Yeah, sure.
But there's something I like about a canned green bean.
I actually like frozen beans. And I like the whole frozen, put them in the thing, heat them up. They don't taste anything like fresh beans, but with enough butter and salt, they taste delicious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
The canned beans, my only thing is they tend to have some weird oil or something on them. It's a weird taste on them. You know what they taste like? Eggs. Oh, I just made him vomit in his mouth.
No, here's a question. If something tasted like eggs, would you not like that?
Well, yeah, what about like a like egg what? Substitute? Like the weird shit you can buy. It's like... It's,
what would that be?
That would be like...
like just...
Like scrambled eggs, but made with, by the way, egg-like.
If it has the same texture, no, I wouldn't be so able to, you know.
It's not a flavor issue at
would
all.
Would you wear
it's
an egg? Issue. Is the texture
I don't like skin? Mushy things.
So there's other food you don't like.
Do you like yogurt?
No.
Do you like pudding?
No.
Do you like stuffing?
Sometimes.
Do you like...
Sometimes.
Do you like ice cream?
I do like ice cream.
Do you like...
This feels very random. You like ice cream. Of course, who doesn't fucking like ice cream? It's raining.
Yeah. Oh, you know who loves ice cream? This one over here.
The Loose?
Yeah, I took
of course
she got ice cream while we were home.
I bet.
Lost
what
her
kind mind. Of? Vanilla, chocolate, doesn't matter, right?
She just eats vanilla.
She's partial. Does she have gastroenterology issues after
oh,
that?
Like shitting her pants?
Yeah.
Or she doesn't wear pants?
Or just kind of wet poops?
Sometimes.
Or I like to call it vanilla poops.
Ugh. Do you like vanilla ice cream?
Not anymore.
So, you like ice cream, but you don't like yogurt, which I don't get.
I mean, I could eat yogurt. I like...
I don't put a gun to your head.
Yeah, no, if someone gave me... If I was at someone's house and they were like...
Because you're polite.
Here's a bowl of yogurt.
I love yogurt.
I would eat it without... I wouldn't gag or anything.
Well, it's all we're having for dinner is yogurt. Okay.
This is highly irregular.
I don't know if I believe any of this.
Yeah.
You don't know if...
I just don't believe it. I think you only eat hot dogs. I think it's you only eat one thing. And you know, you're smart enough to know I can't just say I only eat hot dogs.
I went through a thing with hot dogs, actually. Until I was like 10 or 11, I couldn't eat the very last bite of a hot dog.
Why?
I would just throw it out.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't want to
this eat it. This is what the episode is right now. So
I know this is. We have apologies to the listener, but we need to pursue this.
Fuck J.R. Tolkien.
I'd eat a hot dog till the very last bite, and then I would just throw that out. I would just throw it in the trash.
Bun and the whole bite.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Why? Like it was like the butt of a cigarette?
Kind of, yeah.
Or was it because it was like pig anuses and stuff like that?
Well, I wouldn't have a problem with the first bite.
Right.
It was just the
last so
bite.
You're a man of contradictions.
Do you have any idea where that came from?
I don't.
And by the way, I like that there's an age cutoff. So at 12, you were fine.
Eventually, I was like, all right, I'm just going to eat the last bite, and it was fine.
So really, it was just you were like, look, I got to grow up and deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, I'm going to be a podcast 20 years from now. And I'm going to get berated for this.
Right.
So I better clean up my act.
Yeah.
I saw a vision of the future.
Did your parents, like, were they concerned?
They were. They were annoyed, probably. I was just wasting the energy.
What's your background? Are they, like, mother Italian or something?
My mom's Puerto Rican and Italian.
Right. So food's a big thing.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of different kinds
of
food.
So would she... Christopher!
Is that what she's talking?
That's my Rosie Perez impression.
Christopher, finish your fucking hot dog!
Why are you not finish that? I'm trying to channel Rosie Perez
it's
and
good.
White
it's
Men
good.
Can't Jump.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't pretend like you like the yogurt. You don't like the yogurt. Everyone knows that you only eat hot dogs, and you don't even finish the fucking hot dog.
Yeah.
Then your father?
That's a really good impression.
German and Irish.
Okay, also big food. Lots of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of meat.
Lots
and
of potatoes.
Eggs. Lots of potatoes. You like potatoes?
I do, yeah. I like
mashed.
But not mashed potatoes.
Ah! You don't like mashed potatoes?
I mean, again, I'll eat them if I'm served them.
Dave, I'm thinking there's something wrong with Chris.
I would never order a side of mashed potatoes.
What about yogurt? Do you like yogurt? Did I ask you that already?
Yes.
Yeah, again, though, I like the politeness of it. I wouldn't order it, but if it was the only thing they offered me, would you kind of play with it or would you eat it?
I'd eat it.
So you can eat it?
I can. I just would.
You're not gagging.
Did you ever watch? I didn't see this myself. But did you ever watch that Two Girls, One Cup video?
I have.
But so was that extra disgusting to you because it ticked like a few boxes for you?
I actually didn't have that much of a problem
with that. You didn't have a problem with that?
I'm just kidding. It was absolutely horrifying.
What
but not because of the texture. Was it the texture that got you upset?
had something to do with it.
Look, I wouldn't order it, but if it was all that it had was two girls in one cup at dinner, I'd eat it. That's because
I've read that video is not real, too. By the way,
how could it not be real? How do you fake that sort of thing?
There's ways
to fake stuff coming out of people's butts.
Yep.
How? Like in post?
It's all CGI.
I think they like stick food up their asses that looks
like a Milky Way bar,
like shit.
Like a Snickers.
Yeah, or they like just clump together a bunch of like baby words.
Like an almond joint.
Well, I would argue that if someone were to put something in their butt and then shit it out into a cup and then eat it, I would say
still
that's
not
pretty gross.
Yeah, but it's not actual.
But to our earlier point, arguably everything is that gross, covered in feces.
So you might as well. Might as well just stick food up.
Do they ever do like a follow up with the two girls, one cup ladies, and
I
say,
don't think
hey,
they
what's
did.
Going on?
Where
with
are
you
they
guys?
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, Oprah interviewed them. What? I'm just so curious about this food stuff. Do you have other weird little things like?
I don't like slices of tomatoes, but I'll eat
a
like,
whole tomato,
chopped up tomato, like in a salsa, or if it's like on nachos.
Why
or something.
Like
Do you have a notebook with all this stuff in it? Like what you to remind you?
No. I mean, this is the first time
these
I'm
are like
actually
like going in
discussing this.
Today I tried a slice of tomato. It disgusted me.
It checks out.
However, I do enjoy them I do enjoy a good salsa.
Uh huh.
Pico de gallo. You like pico de gallo?
Yeah, I think it's just like a plain like a slice of tomato. I can't eat.
Would you have it on a sandwich?
If it's already on it, I won't pull it off.
Again, you're so polite.
I know. If I served you a sandwich and it had tomato on it, you would not remove the tomato?
No, I'd eat it.
Out of politeness to me?
Chris, I made you a sandwich. I made you a sandwich with a tomato on it. I hope you like it.
This is really...
Huh. And then in the inner monologue, it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Would you be horrified by it the whole time while you ate it?
No, She's a good sandwich.
I'd be fine eating it, but I would never like say, I'll have a turkey sandwich with tomato on it.
This is highly irregular.
Eggs are like the only thing where I'd pick it off.
You say, I'm sorry, I can't eat this egg.
Yeah.
So if you were in France, you know, in France they put eggs on hamburgers.
I feel like you're talking about the Texan burger.
They call it the American burger.
They do?
California burger.
Well, I used to have a burger called the Texan burger that was...
In Paris?
No, in the Bronx.
Uh-huh, yeah. They do that
at a diner.
Yeah.
And they just put a fried egg on it. I don't eat burgers anymore,
like,
but...
I think Chris is vomiting in his mouth right now.
Do you like steak tartare?
What is that?
It's Ross.
It's like Ross hamburger meat, basically.
Capers,
onions.
Not a huge fan.
It's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
How about sushi?
I've had sushi.
Do you like sushi?
Yeah, sushi's okay. I know.
Do you like is fried foods okay?
But I like sushi when it has like...
eggs on it?
Some kind of crunchy like...
Do you like a crunchy roll?
Yeah.
What about, do you like macaroni and cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like pasta?
Yeah.
We're really raking him over the coals.
Well, I mean, he's got an onion.
No, what's it called?
Raking over the coals.
Whatever, yeah.
I think, but it's unusual because it's very specific stuff, and he, you know, keeps it in a notebook. But
you
the slices,
give him that.
The slices of tomatoes versus the chunks of tomatoes.
Yeah,
like that. I cannot.
Where he draws the line,
I just cannot understand it.
Like that, I kind of get.
I don't get it. I'll be honest with you. The egg stuff, okay. Mm-hmm. Yogurt versus ice cream, you're kind of walking up to that line. But tomato as a slice versus tomato as chunks in like salsa, what's the fucking difference? I'll tell you one thing. I would have a sandwich with bread and tomato slices, and that's all.
You would?
Yeah.
You would order that?
No. Yeah, if that's what they had on the menu, I would order it, yeah.
It sounds like a really shitty sandwich.
It's not the most fulfilling sandwich, but I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Okay.
No.
What other weird food things do you have? The hot dog one's great.
I'm not a huge fan of like white sauces. They've grown on me over the years.
Alfredo's, that kind of stuff.
What about a béarnaise?
Bernays.
Oh, what?
That's more creamy.
What about hollandaise?
Hollandaise is okay.
Do you know hollandaise is mostly, if you get a hollandaise sauce in a restaurant, it's mostly used butter from tables that didn't finish their butter?
Yeah.
Really? You know that?
Yeah. Kitchens and restaurants, the worst. They have to reuse everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to make any money. So, like, you should go in on certain days. Like, don't go in on... Brunch is the classic example of that. Brunch is everything that was left over from that week.
Oh, this is good to know. Brunch the other day.
Brunch was created to get rid of this shit.
Huh. Really?
Yeah, yeah. So, what other things? So...
We just busted this wide open. So
like, it's crazy what we're
doing. Like mayonnaise? I don't like mayonnaise.
Well, okay. You're forgiven on that one.
Well, so why am I forgiven on that, but not anything?
Because mayonnaise is a very specific... Because it's got egg. It's egg-based.
Okay, yeah.
But it's also very specific. Like, Jews don't like mayonnaise, right?
We should point out that you're Jewish, though. Otherwise, we're going to get the...
I'm Jewish. Yeah.
You are, aren't you, though?
My dad's Jewish.
Well, yeah, I mean, because otherwise, you know, we're going to get hate mail.
All right, guys, got one final clip here, and this is a good one. This is from another live taping we did at QED. This was the Algonquin Roundtable episode we did. A lot of what transpired in this episode worked its way into other episodes, and you'll hear why. We introduce sort of a crazy cast of characters that have since made a bunch of appearances on this show, so you'll recognize quite a bit of them. So let's take a listen to this.
So you're driving a cab.
Eventually, I get I pick up a fare.
Sure.
Do you know who Gene Shalit is?
Of course, I know
Gene Shalit. You know who Gene? Does everyone know who Gene Shalit is? Yeah. By a round of applause, who knows who Gene Shalit is? Okay, not everyone's clapping. This person just don't know who Gene Shalit is. Well, you are in for a long night. This guy gets in my car, and he's got the glasses and the mustache and
crazy hair.
Hair is sticking to the roof, and I don't have the heart to tell him. Anyway, he says to. It's actually not far from here.
Where is it? What is it going?
In Queens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Where, like, Northern Boulevard kind of thing?
Yeah, area. and he said, take me to Al's.
Al's?
Yeah, Algonquin's.
Algonquin's.
Yeah, it was a diner.
Uh-huh.
Next to...
Oh, yeah, it's like the famous Algonquin Hotel. I know that.
No. I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. This is Algonquin's.
Al
Sr. ran it. Uh-huh. Algonquin Jr. really did the heavy lifting.
So it's L.
No, L. Like Elf Albert. Albert. Albert Gonquin.
Albert.
L space. Gonquin. Gonquin.
Algonquin's diner.
Algonquin's.
Is it diner on Northern Boulevard here?
Yep. Right. Yeah.
He says, hey, pal, keep. Keep the meter running.
Keep the meter running and does he come in.
He invites you in with
him. Yeah, invites me in.
Wow.
Yeah, we go in there.
What is it like? What does it look like inside?
You go in counter service.
Sure.
And then everyone, we walk in the whole place. Gene! It's a regular. Also, he's Gene Shalit.
Right. You know? So they know who he is.
Yeah, so people are kind of freaking out.
Right.
We go in the back. There's a booth. It's literally a round table.
Right.
In the back, right? It's not really a round. It's more like an oval, if I'm honest.
So it's like an oval with a banquet.
Banquet. Like a... What's that? Like a...
Banquet.
Semi-circle.
Sure.
Of cushioned.
Yeah.
Like if you banquet. Took... If you took just the outer...
Yeah.
In the Venn diagram of Ramones fans...
Yeah.
And spaghetti sauce fan... Yeah. Red sauce... That outer bit of the circle, right. That's what the right. seats... Like what you're talking about.
It's a banquet. Yeah.
Yeah. So... We go in there, and everyone. Then this
people, Gene, oh my
Gene,
God, Gene!
But it's like sort of dimly lit, right? It's
right.
Like later at night, and I get a little closer. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Who do you think's sitting there?
Just sitting at the table?
At the table, waiting for him.
Orson Welles.
No, but you're close. Buddy Ebsen.
Of course. Wow, Buddy Ebsen.
Buddy Ebsen.
Buddy Ebsen.
A young of Beverly Hillbillies. Beverly peak Hillbillies. Of his powers. Not ran for 9 years.
Right. So he's got
that hillbilly.
Fuck you, hillbilly.
Hillbilly money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's, you know, straight on into Barnaby Jones.
Right.
You know, Midas Touch.
Right.
And
who else is there?
A young Felicia Rashad. Debbie Reynolds.
Wow, Debbie Reynolds.
Karl Lagerfeld. Joe Namath.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
More stars in the, you know, there's more stars at this table than in the sky.
Yeah, it was a who's who of stars. They, yeah.
It's and it's Algonquin's Diner out on Northern Boulevard in Queens. It sounds like a hotbed. Was it witty repartee or, you know,
oh my gosh. Bon mot? Just the there's bon mots.
Yeah.
All you can eat bread basket.
What? A bottomless bowl of bread?
Is that the it was like a basket of bread.
Right.
And it was like we'd finish it, and because they're stars,
right,
the waiters would just bring out more bread.
Right. Isn't that what most restaurants would do anyway? Or?
No, we used to see how much bread. Like what?
Who, oh, so you're fucking with them?
No, like Debbie Reynolds could really put away some bread.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a ton of bread.
So you would have this bottomless bread basket.
Bread, we would do soup and salad.
Now, is that a first course? So how does this work?
Well, you would get, it depends, because you could do the soup and salad as a side to the main entree,
sure,
like if you got the lobster tail.
Right. Oh, so you'd get lobster
tail. I don't recommend it, honestly.
Which part, the soup and salad or the lobster?
Never order the lobster tail.
From, at a diner.
No, at Algonquin's.
Oh, just that one.
Yeah, because the preparation, they did this weird sauce. It just wasn't. They did, but anyway, you could get the soup and salad with the surf and turf.
Sure.
Or, and that would be shrimp, not all you can eat.
No, that's good.
And then like a sirloin steak. Sirloin steak.
Sirloin. Mm-hmm.
And Russian dressing.
So I'm imagine what kind of what?
Russian dressing.
Russian dressing.
Yeah.
For the
salad.
For the salad.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Got it. So, you know, we all know the Algonquin Roundtable is this witty, kind of brilliant group of people commenting on society. Quick little Gene Shalit. What would he say? What would he say? What was one of his?
What's
things?
The difference between Buddy Ebsen and a toilet? After you use the toilet, it doesn't follow you around for 3 days.
So yeah. Poor Buddy Ebsen. Buddy Ebsen's just getting pummeled.
Oh, zingers.
Right.
So anyway. One, you know, there ends up being like, and I end up back in town. By this time, I'm sort of like Gene Shalit's manservant, right?
How so?
I'm just cleaning up his messes wherever we go.
Is he a sloppy guy, or?
He and Ebsen had a falling out, Buddy Ebsen from Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
And had a falling out, and we're walking, we're walking in Manhattan,
yeah,
and we go into this hotel. And there ends up being a buffet. They have like free complimentary Swedish meatballs.
Wow.
Pigs in a blanket.
Sure,
what's that?
Sure.
What's the thing in the
toad
hole?
Toad in a hole.
Toad in the hole. Pigs in the blanket.
Toad in
what's
a hole.
Toad in the hole?
Like an egg and toast.
What? Yeah, they didn't have that actually. That pigs in the hole. That sounds good.
You think of Scotch egg? Is that what you're thinking of? Scotch egg?
No. I'm just confused now.
So they had this, it sounds like a very bountiful. Buffet. Was it the Algonquin or was it on?
Well, there would be girls who come out and they dance around. And have you heard of flash dancers?
Sure, sure.
We were on our way to the Algonquin Hotel.
Right.
One of the flash dancers.
Oh, okay. I can understand.
Anyway, we go to the Algonquin Hotel. They do not have the buffet there.
Right.
But it's really classy going there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's now, so now you're at the actual. This is the home of the Algonquin Roundtable, Dorothy Parker.
The other one,
the other,
yeah, the
Algonquin.
One,
the real one.
Well, that now you're insulting what we had at Algonquin's.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm on this 47th floor walk up.
Yeah,
and you know I've always been, you know, I'm a bit of a musician, Jim.
I know that about you.
Yeah. So the whole time, do you know what animatronics? Are you familiar? Do you guys know what animatronics is?
It's robots, right?
You're simplifying it a little.
Kind of like Disney theme park type characters.
Right. They're robotics, right? Is that?
Well, yeah, that's exactly. It's animatronics. They're robotic characters. Right. Like if you go to like a Six Flags or whatever.
Sure.
So animatronics. Now in my circle at this point in the story.
So it's Gene Shalit.
Gene Shalit.
Joe Namath.
Debbie Reynolds.
A young Felicia Rashad. Yes. You have to say that part.
Sybil Shepherd.
They're not dating anymore.
That did not last long. I showed up at her work and she got very upset. Yeah.
Didn't you also you took her to like an adult film?
Yeah. Too, right?
It was an art film. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Some people are prudes.
Yeah. It was around this time that I befriended one of the stars of Bad News Bears.
Yeah. So, am I missing Debbie Reynolds, Felicia Rashad, young Felicia Rashad, Gene Shalit, Buddy Ebsen. Sometimes Irene Ryan.
She was bi-coastal.
Sure.
Yeah. And
so that's your posse.
Joel Grey. But not, I mean, Joel Grey had some pipes on him, but not a musician in the bunch, right?
Right. Karl Lagerfeld also.
Great bunch of people. And, those that are still with us, dear friends to this day.
Sure.
Wait, where was I?
You were talking about...
Oh, animatronics. Okay.
Not a musician in the lot.
Not a musician. So I am forced, except for me, I'm forced to form...
What, who's forcing you to form...
My muse, my my drive in life.
Got it.
Because I, you know.
Yeah, you're looking at a bunch of people that don't play music. You're like, I'm going to bring the music to them.
Right. Yeah, you know, because at the time, you know, I was so busy with Shalit that I eventually gave up my job as a
cab driver.
So I was, I decided I'm going to have a band.
Sure.
I'm in New York City.
Sure.
And so
now, are you making like a band of skeletons or
no? Okay. I had like a hippo and his teeth would be like xylophone teeth. Do you know? Can you picture
so kind of like a,
yeah. But they would be played by a chimp. Now the chimp, to be fair, that was an actual chimp.
That was not animatronic.
No, that was a real chimp.
Shrimp, yeah.
Yeah. It was the chimp actually from the Samsonite commercial.
Samsonite.
Yeah. Out of work. Yeah. And it was really, he would actually, I met him. He was working as a doorman. He had the doorman sort
chimp
of.
Voice.
Yeah, yeah. It was adorable. He had this sort of thing with those, like, sort of wash.
Epaulettes.
Yeah, he had that. And, you know, it'd be the whole, can I help
would
you
he,
with your
but
luggage?
But then he would throw your luggage around?
Help you with your luggage. Yeah, he started whipping it around.
I think it's a funny bit.
You can't let go.
No.
Yeah, it was very. Anyway, so there was him. There was a kitty cat who played bongos.
Like a kitten?
Yeah, yeah. They would play little.
Oh, it sounds so cute.
Yeah, yeah. Little the tiniest set of bongos you ever saw.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he would play, and then there was two goats that would be behind bales of hay, and they would be like going. And then there would be the owl, and I would all these things were activated.
So to walk me through the technology. What
pedals everywhere?
Pedals. You're just pulling pedals,
hitting pedals,
and the hippo's mouth opens, and the chimp comes out and just bangs the shit out of his teeth.
And then an owl would just
an owl
and Daddy sing bass.
Yeah,
there you have it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what kind of is
and
like
then
a,
the goats go? Oh, I'm a saint tenor.
Who was that?
The goats. They the go. Goats. Oh, I'm a saint tenor.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But you're performing this for the Algonquin.
Yeah. Where's this? Where are you performing this? Where's the band playing?
The Algonquin Hotel.
Algonquin Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Algonquin Hotel of Round Table fame. Or the other round table, as you
the like other round
the
table,
other round table is yeah. hired Dave and the Funtime Guys, which is you, an actual chimpanzee from the Samsonite commercial,
who found work later, found work as, a
later
doorman.
As a doorman. What, yeah. Not at the Algonquin, I hope.
No, do you know the Iroquois down
yeah,
the street?
Right
yeah, is that the Iroquois? Yeah.
That's it for this week, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this best of episode of Dave Hill History Fluffer. Once again, we'll be at San Francisco Sketchfest Saturday, January 18th at 4 p.m. at the Gateway Theater. Then we'll be at Union Hall for the Brooklyn Podcast Festival Friday, January 4th at 10 p.m. Head to my website, chris-gersbeck.com, to get those dates. Head to Dave's website, davehillonline.com. And we will be back with a new episode in just a little bit. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Dave Hill's History Fluffer. For more information, go to FooBarRadio.com.
You've been listening to a FooBar Radio podcast. For more information, go to FooBarRadio.com.